Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the program. If you've just tuned in, surfed in, I'm your host, Michelle Mache. And it's an amazing day today. It's the only one we have today, right? It's the only day that we have. If we're in that moment. Wow. Hey, everyone in the chat. Sounds great. Thanks, Tamara. Thank you so much. We've got some different colors going on there in the chat room. I've got my magenta, my bright pink. Tamara has her purple, or kind of lavender. Hey, Lar. Welcome, guests. Hey, Crystal Bowls, Gretna. And welcome, everyone listening via iTunes and the archives, of course, and, of course, on the phone. If you have a question, you want to get on air, that number is 347-539-5122. And I got to say, I'm doing lots going on, lots of, we'll dive into all that. I also want to say all things Awakenings. Email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com. That's awakeningsradio@gmail.com. And we will get you taken care of, whether it's guest suggestion, topics, feedback. And those of you also always that leave your nice feedback, appreciation feedback on iTunes, I so appreciate you. And I think I shared with all of you, and I'll say it again because I just got touched. Somebody sent me something else online about being one of the top podcasts in spirituality and metaphysics for 2015, podcasts to watch out for, to take a look at, for practical information. That we want it practical, right? We want to be able to use it. And also a wonderful write-up and inclusion in a list of the top indie producers to look for in 2015. And that's just not me. That's also, hey, Sadiekin Siren Dreams, that's also you. So you guys, we're doing quite all right, I think. I think we're all doing a good job here co-creating something that people feel comfortable coming to this program and hanging out with us and getting insight and information. And as I say all the time, and I never tire of saying this because it just tickles me, warms my heart, we always, whether it's the guests that come on or the listeners or people that are listening even via the archives, we always get compliments on the chat room, coined by Drita and our very own Tamara, Sacred Space of Empowerment. The live chat. And, you know, some of you know I have a teaching background. I have a background in TV, media, film, and it's all about the collaboration. Nobody does anything alone. And we all set the tone, and then it reverberates out. I see it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I see all of you guys. I see what you're doing. I see the things that you post. I just so see how you're not just showing up for yourself, also holding the space for yourself and showing up and holding the space for others. And I kind of want to touch on this right now because every now and then we kind of move into an area, if you will, where it's kind of truth or dare. Inner knowing, new pathways, maybe sometimes certain people maybe moving out of our life. And we have to kind of look at that and say, hey, what is going on? So I've been getting a lot of, and I've been seeing this with some of my clients as well. I've been getting a lot of people asking me, what is going on with this energy? It is so intense. There is so much happening. I feel like people again are leaving out of my life. Just when I thought things were, kind of falling into place, things are breaking down. What is going on? Am I on the wrong path? That's what I keep hearing. Am I off path? Some of you, yeah, maybe a little bit, but you can always get back on. But the majority that I'm seeing, it's not about being off path. It's about being, we are in a gateway. We've been in since May. And moving through that, we'll have a little bit of a breather about the beginning, mid to August, and then a little upliftment in October again. And then we've got another gateway coming up November, December. And then you notice these have been lasting longer. And you can see these gateways even astrologically, how they're panning out. Astrologically, you can see that this energy is a lot more intense, and it's really requiring people to dig deep, okay? And if people are not able to dig deep, if they're not able to go to their own next level and face their fears, and they're just doing distractions or jumping around, life is getting a bit tough. So it's not so much that I've heard a lot of, some of my clients are really going through stuff, and some of actually in friends and family. But for the most part, a lot of the people that have been doing a lot of work on themselves, successfully are saying, what's with it with the people around me? What's going on with the people around me? And what do I do? And sometimes, honestly, there's nothing we can do. We have to let people be in their own process and make their own mistakes. I'm going through that right now, unfortunately, with a client of mine. And it's really hard when you care. When you don't care, not so difficult. And we've all been there. We've been there with family. We've been there with friends. So we have a further, you heard me talk about it a couple programs ago, that I'm likening this energy with lovely little Saturn back in Scorpio. It's really requiring everybody to get deep into the bottom of the honey jar. Now think about this. Have you ever wanted to reuse your glass honey jar, right? Or you want to clean it, or you want to get the last little bit of honey out of the jar. You have that tea that you made, and you're just really jonesing for some honey, and it's all the way at the end. And you try a spoon, and finally a knife. Try the honey dipper, but that's too fat, even though that's what it's for. But it's for when the honey is full. So we're all getting that last little bit of what is holding us back mentally and emotionally. Some, even though it may be coming through physically, there can be physical challenges. You will be able to trace them right now back to emotional, energetic, and mental. And it'll go mental, it'll go belief systems, beliefs that are holding you back, judgments, comparison, living in the land of what if, or not, or having belief systems that you can't let go of something and move forward. And the emotional stuck states are tending to be resentment, anger, and fear. So it's all basing from fear. But what I would say is where you find yourself overly blaming, obviously sometimes people do quote unquote something to us, but if you're still nursing those wounds and you're blaming people for your life decisions, what you have now or don't have, what's going on in your life, then you are severely being triggered, and this energy is there to help you highlight this triggering, or through the form of triggering, I should say, is showing you where you are not only stuck, but where you are not loving yourself. That's the bottom line. Where are you resenting yourself that you're projecting it onto other people? Where are you fearing you won't move forward, but you're projecting it onto other people? Where are you disappointed in yourself or your decisions, or that you didn't do enough of something or did too much of something, and you're projecting it onto others? So it really is a time right now, using this energy, this heavier, denser energy, that's like it's like shining a big spotlight and just holding it there, and saying, see, see, see. And it's getting hotter and hotter because the flashlight's hotter and hotter. The light is hotter and hotter because the longer you don't see, the hotter that it gets. And so I'm recommending to people a lot of journaling, a lot of meditation. Tamara's putting high lightning. Yay, Michelle. That is so key. Bring those triggered areas to light. Bring it to the light. Oh, my God, Tamara, you're so right. And we fear that. We want that, you know, and it's interesting. People, this is why I say we cannot do it alone. I don't do it alone. No one can do it alone. And I mean, not just alone. Obviously, I have my guides that I work with. Obviously, I'm in touch with my higher self. But I have also a human person, too, that I work with. And then I have counts and balances, the chat room. I have people I work with that reflect things to me, and friends that are very honest. And we have kind of like co-counseling. And I suggest this with anybody that you really, really trust, is to have that kind of co-coaching, co-counseling session together where they know they're doing their own work. That's the requirement. And you really have to, I use the projection perception all the time, 5-step emotional clearing process, and the people I work with do the same. So I have less projection. Like I was talking last night to a really great friend of mine, and we were talking about a mutual friend and some things that have been going on that these people, this person, you know, there's concern. They're not really handling some things and moving forward. And there was a lot of love, and I was doing in one area, and he was saying, I might be wrong, and I might be projecting, but I think you've done this with this person. You've been waiting for them. You've been holding the door open for them. See how loving that is, rather than, well, you do this, you do. It's like, no, and then I could hear it, and then I said, yeah, in this way, da-da-da-da-da, but not in that way. I am holding it, but I'm not waiting. There's a difference between holding the door open or holding the space, but not waiting. And then he said, yeah, you're right, and we had a great talk about it. So if you have those people in your life that can hold that space, and I suggest not just significant others or family members, but getting out of the loop so that you can further see objective patterning. And again, coming from I statements, I think, I feel, this is what I see or my experience. I could be wrong, but this is what I'm seeing you do. And if you're clearing yourself, and keeping, you know, clear of your own projection, people, believe it or not, when you have people, I find when people use that tool, they really don't project a lot, or they catch themselves. You know, really, you know, we're fast learners, you know, we spiritual human being, light worker, star seeders, you know, we're fast learners. And that ego, we're training the ego. We know, the soul knows this on an intuitive level. It's just retraining so that we don't feel that we are being judged, you know. And that's another thing, because I did do a post on Facebook and I wanted to touch on this. A lot of people, like it's always the newbies, you guys, that are saying, well, I don't want to judge anybody. This is two things I hear, or I'm waiting for the universe. And the thing is the universe really can't help us or doesn't do anything unless we're putting ourselves out there, we're showing up in our life and following through on the action steps. And the other thing is, it's okay to judge. It's okay to compare. It's okay to even be in fear. Every time we go into a new level, we're in fear because it's the unknown. Something comes up, you know, or I always say, you know, you walk across the street and you see this massive doggy, you know, maybe it's foaming at the mouth. It's okay to cross the street. You know, it's okay to see something coming and be uncertain about it or recognize that it can do harm. Where it gets harmful is when we're in what we call stuck states. When we have conditioned response patterns, that we're overly reactive, we're overly reacting to a situation by a conditioned response. And when we're reacting via conditioned response, this means we're not in the present moment. We're triggered by the past. And as one of my great teachers always told me, Dr. Hahn, which was so true, is that the triggering, we learned this in alchemical hypnotherapy and analytical hypnotherapy and a lot of interpersonal therapy and transpersonal psychology as well, that, get this, 80 to 90% of what happens to us in the present is not what is causing us the pain or discomfort. It's the past that's unhandled. And so it's like a powder keg. And Dr. Hahn used to say, you know, people really don't do that much harm. Of course, okay, heinous crimes, okay, there's always those outs, right? Somebody just cheated on you, you know, but even that, if you haven't had that in your history, and you have your own sense of self and you're connected to your core, yeah, it hurts you, it dents you, but it's not like this huge, you know, cataclysmic thing. So I always look at it kind of like a powder keg. It's like you've got 10 to 20%, maybe even 25 in the present that's going on, and someone lights the match, right? And it goes all the way down that, corridor or whatever that, and boom, the keg comes up. But it's the unhandled stuff. It's not what's happening to you now. It's all the unhandled stuff. That's why doing any kind of regression work or, emotional clearing, repatterning work, any kind of therapy, all of it, everything, anything, And so those kinds of things. So it's not bad. I want to go back to this again. It's not bad to judge. It's just we're in judgment all the time because you need to discern or judge if someone's behavior is appropriate. Are you getting enough attention, a love, affection, or is there an even exchange in relationship? You need to judge if you're doing that for yourself. We need to judge where we are in our life. Do we need to make changes? But not sitting in judgment in a non-loving place of something's wrong with you, And sometimes we do have to judge. Sometimes we do wake up and go, wow, something's wrong with me or my behavior. There's never really anything wrong with us, but sometimes our behavior, our approach, or our pattern. And comparison, that's healthy. It's comparing ourselves to where we were or where we are or where we want to go or maybe somebody we admire with, oh, I'd like to do that too. I'd like to integrate that. Or that reminds me, I want to learn this or I want to do this. But the comparison where you're putting yourself down and always looking outside yourself, that's when it becomes detrimental. So anyway, I wanted to touch on that because I had a few emails about that. And then I've kind of been looking at judgment in my life too. Because I can be a little judger. I'll admit it on air. How's that? But it's knowing that it's okay to judge, but how am I judging? Am I judging in a way that's judgmental or am I judging in a way that's discerning? Very fine line. Because if you don't judge and you're not putting out into the universe, you're not defining what you need and want. You're not saying yes to this and no to that. You don't have boundaries then. And boundaries are so important. As you all know, I've always said this, people that have issues with boundaries that are not having healthy boundaries, and first of all, inner boundaries within themselves of what's right for them and being in their authentic self, usually have a lot of anger. They have a lot of frustration, anger, and annoyance because they've either overstepped their own boundaries or they're allowing others to overstep the boundaries. And sometimes those boundaries are us not getting our needs met, not growing when we need to grow. We all know people around us that are very angry and because they're not making those changes they need to make. And I realize sometimes we have to hold the space for people because there's fear. There's fear about making, change. But that's why I say again, surround yourself with people that can support you and be honest with you about, hey, you're kind of stuck there. Some of you know, a while back I had my dear friend Jennifer, and who we do a lot of collaborative work with, and I was going in a certain direction, and she said, but you've already done, haven't you done that? Does that really fit in with what you want? And I wasn't so animated and enlivened about the choice I was about to make. And she said, my teacher told me, if you don't feel animated, there's not a lot of energy coming in with your choice, then it's not that life enhancing. It's not as, there's not a lot of resonance there. And I listened and I acted accordingly. Okay, let's take a look at the chat and let's also get to callers. Got lots of callers. I love it. I love it. Laura, wow, Michelle, I recommended the show to a friend of mine. I hope she's listening today because this is something we've talked about. Oh my God, great. Tamara, so glad you're sharing this. And then Tamara saying, yeah, we need to take responsibility for what we need and want. That's so true. You see, and this is the thing, we can't help, we can't support someone else unless we're supporting ourselves. We can't realistically meet someone else's needs and wants, whether that's in an interpersonal relationship with a significant other, children, collegial relationship, collaborative, coworker. We can't do our outer jobs. We can't reach out to the other and really be there if we're not being there for ourselves. And sometimes that's making those tough decisions. Even though it's difficult to sometimes make the changes we need to make, we sometimes need to leave things, not because they're so horrible, but because we're really done with it. On a soul level, we're done with it. Then Tamara put in the chat, know thyself. I know, isn't it? And you know what? I tell you, there's many times that I've made decisions because I knew myself and I was connected to my higher self, but it wasn't the most glamorous or profitable. Especially when I was back in the business, you know, I've joked all the time on air about, instead of me hobnobbing with the people I, quote unquote, as my agent said, should have been hobnobbing with, I'm hanging out with the makeup artist because we're both reading the same metaphysical book or self-help book. You know what I mean? I'm always kind of going against the grain. And then at some point in my life, I had to realize, Jesus, I guess that's just me. I'm going to go for what's more interesting to me on a soul level, what my higher self is leading me to. And maybe that'll work. Maybe that would be really profitable someday. I don't know. You know, maybe, maybe not. But it is taking those chances to make those decisions, not in a sabotaging way, but in a way that really nurtures your soul, you know, and connects you with your soul first and foremost, but is very nurturing and is life enhancing and what is more resonance to your soul. So I'm kind of inspired by this because I've been, like I said, been getting some emails on this, and then some people I've been observing, and I hope they're listening. I'm not naming names. But, you know, sometimes people stay too long at the cocktail party, too long at the parade. They stay too long with something, and it creates a stagnation. It's like a pool of water, a nice lake has movement. We've all seen, you know, nice flowing rivers, rapids. You know, you go on a hike, and the water that you can drink out of is the one that's been moving and moving through the rocks and doesn't have a lot of junk in it. The water we cannot drink from is the water that's been stagnated and polluted. Even if it's not polluted, it's stagnant. It hasn't been moving for a long time. And they say, don't drink that water. You get that Guardian or LaGuardia, whatever the heck it is. You get something from it. I don't know, toxic, whatever. And so we're the same way. We need to move our bodies. We need to move our mind. We need to have new thoughts coming in. We need to shift our beliefs now and then. We need to move our emotions. We need to love our emotional body and let those emotions go like the instrument they are. That's what we're all here doing on this earth plane, you know. And so when we have not movements just for movement's sake, but natural movement, sometimes it's fast, sometimes slow, sometimes choppy, but allowing ourselves to tune into, acknowledge, understand, and follow the directive of the higher self lets us more easily get the support we need to make the changes we need to make. And so astrologically, that's really a focal point right now. And so if you're listening and you're going, oh my God, I've been really getting it, or life's been really hard, or oh my God, all these issues keep coming up, or I keep getting told the same thing, or I keep seeing the same thing, or I'm stuck and I haven't been moving, then this is for you. Find the support, get the support, how much support you need to have the courage to make the change, the growth. It's really not, it's changing something on the outer, but it's really aligning more to your soul. All right, let's get to callers. Okay, we've got 325, 456, you're on Awakenings. Welcome.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, who is it?
Laura. This is Laura.
Who? Hey, Laura, welcome.
Laura. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm feeling pretty good. So, which question?
I'm going through that stagnant right now about moving. I don't know if I should stay where I'm at or move. My relationship went stagnant too. He just stopped talking to me. So
you both kind of just stopped talking. Okay, and now why are you moving?
I don't know if I should stay in the city I'm at or move.
Okay, but I hear a question. You don't know if you can stay, but that you might be able to stay, right?
Yes, I have the option of either staying or moving, and I don't know what.
Okay, but I'm kind of feeling you don't want to move.
You know, this guy, I don't, Because I don't know what's going on with him, and I kind of was waiting to see if he was going to move this way, and he's got a lot going on. And
I would say, if you can, write it out until Saturn moves out of Scorpio, and just work on the loss, the grief, work on what you're going through. My suggestion is not to move away from somebody or towards somebody, you know, unless there's like a mutual kind of thing happening. But because I'm hearing grief about the relationship, and that's uncertain. But I'm also hearing you're not really ready to make the decision, and you're not really wanting to leave where you're at now. Don't you have support? I feel like you're making some friends where you are. Is that true?
I am.
Yeah. So don't uproot. Don't uproot. Friends are very valuable, and you'll know when the right time to move will present itself, and it'll be such the right decision. It'll be an expansion instead of a contraction. Because right now I feel friends are important to you, so nurture those friends, hang out with them, heal, give this guy the space to do what he needs to do to find himself, you know, and you'll be more connected to your core so that you can make a better decision for yourself. That makes sense?
Very much so.
Okay,
very much.
Cool, yeah. Keep us
Wonderful.
Posted, we care, let us know. All righty.
Thank Bye-bye. You, Michelle. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Big hug. Okay, we've got, 415, 416, you're on Awakening.
Hi, Michelle, this is Kate.
Hey, Kate, welcome.
Thanks.
How are you?
I haven't been able to listen live for a while, so it's always great. This feels a little different than the podcast, so it's always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything you said in like the first 10 minutes, that was describing my month of July. So it's kind of funny how that works. So I don't really have a specific question, but I guess just anything about what you said in the beginning.
Well, let's look.
Anything that comes up for
here's
me
what I feel with
regarding
you,
that.
With every, yeah, here's the thing that comes up for you. And Laura put, we're all going through it, going through a lot. Oh, yeah, I've had my little triggerings as well. So here's what I'm hearing with you is you really need to connect in, because I feel some decisions for you coming up, not right away, but values, principles, and beliefs. What do you value? What do you love? How do you want to be loved? How do you want to express love? How do you want to love? So in other words, what's important to you? And just everybody, you know, this is for you as Kate, but this is also for everyone, and I've been doing this myself, it's just look in your mind, see if there's some beliefs that are kind of old and moldy, some beliefs that no longer apply, or there's some beliefs that you really have that maybe you have not been connecting with. And beliefs can also translate everybody into routines. You know, are there certain things, you know, that have been dropping out that you found nurtured you or grounded you? You know, so go back to those things. Grounding, I'm going to tell you, our energy is really, and I'm going to take off. And I've been talking to those of you that are in my Soul Entrepreneurship program. If you want information, you can go to soulentrepreneurship.life. Thought I'd throw that in there. The energy is really going to change and really take off at the close of the year, and specifically around November 3rd on. There's some, you know, amazing aspects, very powerful aspects that where things haven't been moving will be pushed and will be, there's going to be, let's just put it this way, a lot of deciding, a lot of decision making, a lot of things that are on the table that are not just thinking about it in theory, but actual decisions that new directions, new pathways, and those new pathways for some will be 7 years, others about 15 years. So anywhere between that, this is why we want to be clear about where we're at. It's going to somewhat lock us in. Our choices are going to lock us in. So I'm suggesting to everyone to really evaluate where you're at and what's important to you and what do you want, because you don't want to get stuck in something. You know, we had a similar thing in 2011. By the way, it's not that, you know, we don't get lemons and we can't make lemonade. It's not like it's horrible. I mean, for some it can be. There can be a lot of you know, feeling stuck and making a decision and going, oh God, I'm in the wrong job, or I took that job because I was afraid I wasn't going to get what I really wanted. And I've been hearing a lot of that. But for you, Kate, it's preparing for those decisions, and also bringing some fun in. What's going on with your fun factor?
Yeah, I don't have any.
Get the fun factor. But just get out there, even if it's on your own. I mean.
Oh, I do that. I do that. I do that every weekend. I'm not a
sit-at-home. What about the week breaking?
What
about the week? Just a little breaking up of whether going to the cafe, whatever, coffee shop, along the pier. I feel like you're near water for some reason. Pier. Just even during the week, just a little bit. You're still kind of in this cocooning healing phase as well. So you're still a little inward, even though you're getting out. So I would just
right.
do that. The only thing that I would bring in is just kind of more kind of contemplation, reflection on what you're doing, you know, what you need to do. Does that make sense?
All right. Yeah. So do you hear anything about how I can meet the more, like, my more friends in this new area?
More, say that again. I didn't get it, Kate. What'd you say?
Oh, how I can meet new friends in this new city.
Yeah, you know, shared things. Again, that's why you've got to take a look at your values, principles, and beliefs. Where are you going to meet people? I meet a lot of people, not just dancing, but art galleries, philanthropic events. I go to quite a few and kind of, you know, mingle around. And I did this when I wasn't, you know, in a significant other relationship, whatever you want to call them, friends or no friends, family or no, I kind of, here's what I would suggest to anybody. If you've ever traveled, and I've not only traveled, but I've lived abroad. And one time I realized, I thought, how come I do so much and I have such a magical life when I'm abroad? All these experiences just happen and you draw these things to you. It's an openness. So years ago, I started adapting that, and I would even kind of set the tone. I would go, breathe into my upper chakra, that ninth center, so I'm getting beyond duality, connecting to the higher self, and I just beam out and feel my energy going out and say, hey, I want to have a good time. I want to meet some cool people. I want to meet someone to talk philosophical with. Or I'm open for a connecting or connection. And now, depending where your resonance is, depends on what you're going to attract. But I still do that. And then I have these amazing little conversations with people. You know, I go to the little market and hang out and talk and this and that. So that's what I kind of suggest with you, Kate. But you need to connect in order for it to be magical and to draw the right people to you of resonance
yeah.
that are more of your soul tribe. You kind of got to know yourself and see what it is that and drive or walk around and look at people and look at experiences and say, oh, I kind of want to know that person or hang out with them, or you know maybe I'd like to learn guitar, or I like art, or maybe I'd like, so that kind of thing. What do you like to do? And then see where your energy begins to get more animated. Go in that direction.
Okay.
All
right.
Do
Thanks
it for
so
the week and let us and call back in and let us know how you do. Let us
All
know
right.
what happens. What
sure
magic
thing.
Happens. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to just callers. So if you have a call, you know, if you have a question, you want to call in, it's 347-539-5122. Tamara put, I meet people at yoga classes. Yeah, that's another place. I met a lot of people through my booty yoga and flow yoga. There's another one, yeah. Juice bars, everywhere. People, you know, I think when you just open up, the more you're open in that state of openness, the more it comes to you. Okay, again, call in number 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad to be heard. And we've got caller 818-307. You're on Awakening. Hello. Oh, there you are. Hello.
All right, can you hear me?
I can turn it up a little. Can you turn up? Hello?
Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me now?
I can hear you a little bit. You're going to have to speak up. Who am I speaking with?
Gail.
Who is it?
Gail, maybe I should call back in if you're having difficulty.
Yeah, would you? Yeah. Could you call back in so we can, and I'll put the number down. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Bye. Yeah, cannot hear, cannot hear. Okay, let's go. I got to change my view here, though, because I got a lot of callers, and I want to make sure what happens. Sometimes when we have this many callers, I don't think the guest has called in, and they're way down at the bottom of the queue. So. I betcha, let's see. Okay, so let us get to the next caller. Wow. Okay, we've got 707-228. You're on Awakenings. Welcome.
Hi, this is Ona speaking. How are you?
Oh, what's the first name? Hello?
Ona.
Ona? Hi, Ona. Welcome. Onya, welcome.
I would like to ask about my son.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Adam.
Okay, what would you like to know about Adam?
Adam is right now in a very difficult situation where he broke up with his girlfriend. Broke up with her, left his job, he's trying to start a new career. So I was wondering what's going on with him. Like, he's in a difficult situation.
Okay, just give me his. Okay, give me his first name, please. Just the first.
Adam.
Oh, Adam. Okay, yeah, I can't hear. It's hard to hear right now. Okay, I hope the chat is hearing. Okay. Okay.
And he was born in December 11th.
Yeah, the thing I'm getting, I feel a male. Is there a lot of criticism or criticalness from the male? And I'm guessing perhaps the father
yes.
figure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. He's battling a lot of the father's overcritical and abusive, and so he's battling some belief systems and emotions about how he feels about himself. So he has a lot of anger, but also a lot of, there's a lack of confidence and self-esteem. That's what he needs to work through. So he needs to connect back in with his uniqueness, his beauty. He needs to connect back in that I'm worth it, I'm good enough. So that's what's going on. And that's what's also causing problems. So he's being kind of, you know, overly sensitive and reactive. And, he needs, you know, anytime we're overly criticized or overly, you know, and parents do for different reasons, but that's what your son's battling with. So that behavior has affected him, and so he needs to do his own inner work to overcome it, whichever way he can. So it's making him a little, you know, little to a lot difficult to be around, and he's just not feeling very good about himself. So, but
okay.
Then you can do, you know, not overly, but just start in just noticing what he does do right or talent,
okay.
You know, and just kind of slip those things in.
Okay.
You can also generally slip in that when people tend to be emotionally abusive or critical, that it's their lack of self-esteem or something they're going through. It's not reflecting on him. Now, of course, you can't do all of I said all at once, but you can start here and there slipping it in, like, so he feels more validated. That's what he's seeking. He's seeking acknowledgement. I mean, we all want to be acknowledged. He's seeking validation and acknowledgement just for who he is and how he is. So you'll have a little, you know, a little rough patch. He's got to heal from this is what's going on.
Who defined his career?
He will, but he's got to handle this. See, because right now, there's a lot of confusion and uncertainty. He's not sure what he can do and can't do. You know, in a way, he's kind of holding himself back. So he's just going to have to go through his own self-discovery, self-exploration, which unfortunately, as a mother, nothing you can do. You have to let him be the man and grow into it. Like I said, only, you know, this is a time where he'll get that reflection from other people in his life, peers, you know, hopefully another male, you know, the healthier male, you know, interaction. But you can slip in things a little bit here and there, you know. You know, and be honest with them, though. Call when something isn't right, call him on that, make sure that he knows it's not him, but it's his behavior that isn't productive or helpful. But within that, kind of sandwich in some of the, you know, validating, acknowledging him for his, you know, character traits that are life enhancing, you know, or unique. Okay.
Okay.
Hope that helps.
Okay. All right. Question.
No, we need to move on. We've got so many callers, but you can call back in or just hold on, and I'll write your number and I'll recycle through. Just got a lot. Okay.
I'll hold on. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. You're so welcome. Okay. I'm trying to go back to. I forgot who it was. Okay. 818-307. You're on Awakenings. Welcome.
It's Gail. How are you today?
Hey, Gail. Hey, Gailie.
Can you hear me okay now?
I can hear you.
Oh, that's great. I have to say, I love everything you said this morning or this afternoon on the radio. It's just been so concise about what's really going on astrologically. And
oh, good.
For all of us. I mean, I'm finding it with all my clients and in my practice as well. It's just huge right now, people having to really get authentic at the soul level. But I do have a question for you today.
Okay, cool. All right.
My husband's been involved in a trust, and the family business is kind of what's up for grabs as he's worked for 4 years. And I'm watching him have a lot of fear about whether he should involve his sisters in the business or go it on his own. And I'm sensing that there's more money there possibly than he's really seeing clearly, and it might work out okay for him to do the family business on his own. And I was just wondering what you might see with that.
I would definitely say, as soon as you were saying, I would say definitely on his own.
Okay.
They don't know the business, and it will get into a he said, she said, or you should do this, and we thought you were doing that, and we don't think that's the right expenditure. Yeah,
right.
It will be a can of worms. This is the time.
I thought.
Yeah, this is the time for him to just stand on his own, you know, and choose people to work with him or partner with him that are equals and professionals and on the same page. It's about parting ways with the family, you know, not cutting off, but he needs to separate out.
Right. So he's got such a fear about the money and the money not being there in the business for him of what he's going to have to pay his sisters to get them out. But my sense is that there is more than what he's actually seeing right now, or his own fears are just keeping him from really knowing what.
Well, I think he's going to have to make things go to a next level business-wise is what I'm hearing.
Right.
And that may be, I don't know, that may be short-term putting some money in or developing another department or something, you know, how businesses do that. They have branch out or offshoots. But I don't see, I'm not seeing that being cohesive, happy, no.
Okay.
No, I'm not seeing that.
Because I got a really strong feeling about that as well, but I'm so close to this situation. And there's so much crazy going on because of all the fears that I am having to constantly separate out, balance.
Yeah. No, you got the hit. It's
okay.
You know, and that's, by the way, I think if I may, that's what I feel also this Saturn and Scorpio, part of the end of the honey is where are we fearful? If something goes away, you know. One of the mantras I always say, whether it's a person, a job, a situation, is I say, that is not my source and supply. Because we're all connected to an infinite source and supply. So we have to be careful of making right people or a certain job the way it is. Who knows? Maybe he automates. Maybe he branches out into something that's online and it really blows up, you know?
Right.
But I feel it's his baby. It's his baby to run with is what I'm hearing.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Gail. Thanks for calling in.
Right.
Everyone in the chat saying hi. Yay.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay. 818-749. You're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome. Whoops. It's taking a while to get there. Let's see. There we go. 818-749, you're on air. Hello? Okay. All right. So I don't know where that other 818 caller went to. Or let's see. We're going to have our guest calling in a few minutes, so let's see who else we can get to. 707-228, you're on Awakening. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello, you're on air.
Hi. My other question was, would I be...
Whoops, we can't hear. Okay, boy, we're really having... I don't think it's on my end. Hi, 201-919, you're on Awakenings. Welcome.
Hi, Michelle. This is Shannon.
Hey, Shannon. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks.
Hi.
I am calling in kind of as a check-in and also with a question. Okay. I've been doing the Daily Ohm course. Thank you.
How are you? Any questions on it, or do you like it? Any questions?
I love it. I mean, some weeks I take a week, some weeks I take a little longer. It's been really cool because I started with my hope to get out of the program was to have more clarity or more alignment with my work. And I've really had a lot change just even in the time of like reflecting on stuff and had new interests come up, which has been really awesome. Mm-hmm. And just more clarity, like using the program to figure out like what I actually like to do, that I like coming up with ideas instead of being the one like holding things together, has just been so insightful. So thank you.
Oh, very cool. I'm glad. I love hearing that. You know, I just, that was a labor of love. It was 9 months to create that course and curriculum and all the content. So, and what's great is you have it for a year, you know, so it's, that's so cool. You just take your time with it. That's how it was meant to be. Yeah. Okay. Question.
Yeah. So one thing that has an interest that I've been led to is a field of study that is horticulture therapy. Hadn't even heard about it before, but it's kind of like using plants to help people heal in the process of interacting with plants. So I found this course and I'm really interested in it. I'm a little reluctant to go all in, just because I'm not sure like how many jobs there are. I'm realizing now that I want more support in my work. Like I've been doing freelance for a long time and I want something a little more supportive. So I was just wondering if you could see anything or anything that I should sort of be aware of, even with my own tendencies, in maybe like exploring this new field.
I say go for it, and you'll find, you know, there's a lot of things that I've studied that I don't do anymore, but it led me to something else, or I bring it into what I'm doing now, or I learn something invaluable. Because remember, when we're on this path, it's also about our own growth and development as well, so, and our own healing always. So I think it'll be great for you. I feel you have a lot of interest, so whatever you do, you're going to blend quite a bit together. And remember, in the new paradigm, there are hybrid. I don't know if you heard me talk about this. It's in the archives, the show that I did on finding your and living your soul's purpose. There's a lot of, you know, hybrid careers and positions or jobs that are in the new paradigm. So it's merging things, sometimes even from seemingly similar fields together. So I would just say go for it. I'd say if you can find a shorter course to see if you like it, I feel that you will. But if that's, you know, part of your wonderment, you know, no reason to jump in. But I'm sensing you would really like it. I'm sensing it's something that you would really like to do, because I feel like you want to do something cutting edge. You want to do something different. Because I feel like you could tend to get bored kind of easily. So whatever you're choosing, there needs to be a few branches to what you're doing.
Yeah, cool. I'm already doing like nutrition and yoga, so it's already in the field, but I was feeling like something was missing. So I think that actually makes sense.
There you go. And here's the thing, not only because I keep, you know, working on myself and, you know, I use the tools that I put out there, I've studied so much and so much training that a lot of times people work with me for a very long time, or they leave and then they come back. I'll get an email. Oh, do you do such and such, Michelle? Oh, yes, I do. Oh, okay. You do dream therapy? Oh, okay, good. Uh-huh. Oh, you did? Okay, good. because the rapport and trust is there, especially if people, here's the thing, if people really want to go deep in your process, you want to work with somebody, you know, over a long period of time that knows you because that intimacy is there and you're willing to reveal. It's just like any other relationship. Yes, you want to see other people, have other energies in, other books, whatever, you know, yes, you want all that too. But if you're lucky enough to find a coach, a mentor that keeps growing, that's the key. They cannot stop growing, otherwise it's not going to work. But if they're fresh and they've trained and studied a lot, then they know when you're BSing yourself. They know, they'll say, oh, we covered this, remember this? Whereas somebody would, you know, just I look at people that therapy jump a lot, they don't really want to do the work because it takes at least six months on the good side, 8 months, usually a year, to really build rapport and dive deep. And that's in any relationship. And it's the same with a therapeutic relationship. You know, people hide this and that. You have to build the rapport. You have to build the trust. You have to trust the therapist. You have to know that it's safe. That, you know, there's this whole dance just that happens in any type of, you know, intimate relationship. And so whatever, you know, if it gets too hot in the kitchen and people are jumping out, then that means they're not wanting to look at this stuff. So I feel for you, Shannon, you having a very holistic approach, that you will be an asset to those that you work with.
Yeah,
it'll be more fun for you.
Yeah. That's what it feels like. All right, thanks, Michelle.
Very cool. You're so welcome. Oh, my gosh, great. We've got still a lot of callers. It is time for our Awakening Dialogue. We've got an amazing guest coming up. Lots of questions to dive in and ask him. If you did not get your question answered, and you please stay on air and listen. You can call back next week. We're here every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific time, and we have our, you know, call-in time between 12 and 12:45, 12:50 Pacific time. Okay, so get your tea, get your coffee, get your juice, get your water, whatever, and settle back in. We've got David B. Feldman joining us, and he is the author of Super Survivors, which explores the science and humanity of achievement and success. He's associate professor of counseling psychology at Santa Clara University, which is in Santa Clara, California. His research and writings have been published in some of the best journals in the field of psychology. They tend to address hope, meaning, and growth in the face of life's difficult circumstances. He is also the contributor to the Business Insider, Fortune, U.S. News, and World Report, and he's also had his work featured in the Huffington Post. If you guys want to take a little peek at his work, you can go to supersurvivors.com. Hello, and welcome to the program, David.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, wonderful to connect with you. Love the title of the book, by the way.
Thanks a lot.
And and it's interesting because a lot of the conversations and the calls that we had earlier before you came on have been about coping, you know, mentally, emotionally, and in these changing times. So I feel like your book is really apropos for addressing, not only giving hope, but looking at what brings deeper meaning in the face of challenges in people's lives. And there's definitely a lot of those. I'm going to dive in right now, David, in the beginning. Just I want to get a little background of you, how you came to do this type of research and work. What was your impetus for going in this direction in your own life?
So, you know, the book Super Survivors is about what you might call post-traumatic growth or even just super survival. Mm. This notion that trauma, while being incredibly painful, and by the way, it's something we all go through. I mean, it's unlikely that anyone listening to this show is going to get through life without some serious trauma. I mean, the statistics are something like 80% of us will have a really serious trauma at some point in our lives. And that's not counting like the normal setbacks and obstacles and frustrations of everyday life. And I got really interested in how people could take trauma and transform it, not to get rid of the pain, because the pain's there, and I think all you can do with the pain is grieve and honor it, but also use it as an opportunity to build a really great life, a meaningful life, to bounce forward rather than just to bounce back. And you asked about my inspiration. I worked with vets, veterans of various United States wars for a while, and you know, I witnessed their pain and suffering and nightmares and flashbacks and all those things that can happen in post-traumatic stress disorder. But I was also surprised and inspired by how they also grew. It can be as simple as seeing the grass as greener and the sky as bluer. It can be deepening and widening your spirituality, your relationship with God or the divine or whatever you are drawn towards. It can be discovering new paths for your life, new goals. And then in extreme cases, which we showcase in our book, Super Survivors, we profile people who've really transformed their lives, who have, as a result of trauma, started whole new careers, become rock stars, founded NGOs that help tens of thousands of people. And we hope that a little bit of them kind of rubs off on us as we wrote and as we read the book.
Mm. I love this viewpoint because it's always been, you know, the listeners always hear me saying this, that, you know, it's our gifts are inextricably tied in with our wounding and our pain. You know, that's where we find our meaning and can for ourselves and can give back. I'm wondering, what do you think, because it's not a prevailing, unfortunately, in most books out there, it's not a prevailing focus in self-help or, unfortunately, spirituality or what people quote-unquote call New Age. Everybody wants the happy pill. No one wants to admit that they have trauma or issue or get triggered. Everybody wants to be, oh, I meditate every day and I, you know, rise up like the Buddha. What do you think that is? Because I feel like what you're saying and what you're offering in your book is actually the path to more self-actualization, more abundance, you know, more love in your life, loving yourself, loving others. I feel it's actually the path to opening up, admitting this, rather than keeping it kind of suppressed or hidden.
I could not agree more. You're right. We all want the happy pill, whether that's Prozac or whether that's a self-help book that just tells us how to be 100% happy all the time. And yet, you know, my experience as a therapist and honestly as a human being who's on my own path is that that's really impossible. And if you try to force yourself to think positive in all circumstances, as I think many gurus in the self-help movement push you to do, if you try to force yourself to think positive, you're really just going to end up lying to yourself. And I think it's amazing how many people advise us to do that. I was recently at a conference of people with cancer survivors, and they were in all different stages of their cancer ordeal, from newly diagnosed through treatment, and many of them, you know, were 5 years post, you know, and had been declared cancer-free. And I asked them, about 1,000 people in the audience, what is the least helpful piece of advice that anyone gave you during your cancer ordeal? And, you know, there were lots of answers. There were 1,000 people in the audience, but there was a wave of agreement that one of the least helpful things people said was think positive, look on the bright side, because all of the people in the audience said, look, when you've just been diagnosed with cancer, it's impossible to think only positive thoughts and to be happy and to smile. And to try to make yourself do that is to be self-alienated. It's to practice denial. Yeah. And they all said, and what we found out through our research for the book, is that the science also says that the path to success, satisfaction, meaning, is really a kind of enlightened, hopeful, realistic kind of thinking, rather than this kind of like denial-based positive thinking.
Right. So there's hope, and you talk about that in your book. So there's hope, but there's realistic, like, in other words, you're just diagnosed with this, or whatever happens, you're in grief, whatever, you know, the partner leaves you, it's natural to be in grief. You're not going to be, hey, it's okay. Everything has meaning. It must have been, I can't stand this one. It's meant to be, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So is there a balance between the processing, going through it, and then the hope? Or is the hope necessarily there in the beginning, or is it something that we need to kind of work through?
Well, I think they can exist at the same time. At least that's my experience. That we're not creatures that only think, that only have one feeling at a time. I think all of the listeners probably agree with that. That we are complex and beautiful creatures, and we can be grieving what we've lost, and at the same time, hopeful for what we might move toward. I think of a character in our book. I say character, but he's a real guy, Alan Locke, who he had always dreamed. He's a British guy. He'd always dreamed of being in the British Royal Navy. And at 25, after hard work, he achieved that dream, and he was a sailor on a ship in the Atlantic. And late one night, he was up really late, tired. He was looking at maps, and he couldn't read them. They were blurry and smearing across the page. And and he thought, well, maybe I'm tired. Well, in the morning, he still couldn't read them, and his eyesight got worse and worse. And when he went to the doctor, he was told unthinkable news. I can't even imagine this. He was told, you have macular degeneration, a disease that mostly people in their 80s and 90s get, and you're going to go blind. And there's nothing you can do about it. And he tried. He tried to think positive. He tried to tell himself it'll all be okay. He tried to look on the bright side. But the truth is, he was going blind. And he did. He went almost completely blind. He's got a little vision left. And he lost his career in the Royal Navy. And he entered a period of grieving, a period of mourning for his losses and depression. But he tells a very interesting story that even though all of his friends told him, look on the bright side, think positive, he realized that he had to think realistically. And for him, what that meant was admitting what about the situation he could not change. Admitting that, it sucks. I've lost my vision. I've lost my career. I can't get that back. That's the realistic part. That's really brave. It's really hard. Mm-hmm. But he says, and the research, by the way, the psychological research bears this out, that it's necessary to start there. And then he asked himself an incredibly hopeful and forward-thinking question. How can I build the best life I can on top of realistically where I am? And he began to marshal his personal strengths, to set goals, to put one foot in front of the other, to march towards a better future. And just to let you know what he ended up accomplishing, he now holds two world records, I believe, one for being the first legally blind person to row a rowboat across the Atlantic Ocean, and another for being the first legally blind person to trek all the way across Antarctica. And he says that's all because of this combination of realistically acknowledging what has happened without painting a smiley face over it or denying it, and then hopefully looking to the future and saying, what can I do now?
Wow, what a powerful story. I like the idea that the realistic, because that gives you some parameters to then focus on, as you're saying, what is real? What can I do? And go in that direction. Seems like the other might leave us kind of lamenting longer, in the past. Now, David, is this part of what you talk about in your book and in your writings as well, in your articles, about this post-traumatic growth? If you can go into that a bit. Because I think, and one thing I want to kind of preface here, which I there's some certain people that are listening that I think that really need to hear this, and my clients, by the way, because I feel like sometimes we spend so much time, which we need to, on the healing, the rebalancing, on the recovery. But you speak of this growth. There's this post-traumatic, obviously that has to be dealt with, but you're actually suggesting that there's not only growth from there, but that we focus on growth or new opportunity or potential in our life.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, first of all, I should kind of preface this by saying what we're absolutely not saying is that trauma is somehow good. I would never want anyone to misinterpret me as saying that trauma is a great thing and because it helps us to grow. It's not. Trauma is terrible.
I'm not hearing you saying that. So that's a good clarification, but
No, absolutely. And I just want to make sure that listeners know that. But we are creatures that are evolved or created to grow. I mean, we are creatures that are kind of always looking around to become more than we already are. And we see that happening in times of great fortune. But, you know, we shouldn't be surprised when we see that happening in times of pain and suffering as well. And when it happens in times of pain and suffering, it's called post-traumatic growth, or as we call it in the book, super survival. That doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't make the trauma all better and perfect. But it does, but we hope that the book encourages people to realize that even in the midst of trauma and suffering and loss and setbacks, it's okay to dream about the future. It's okay to look to the future and ask yourself, what am I learning about myself through this pain? What am I learning about my goals through this pain? Does this pain and suffering help me clarify anything about who I am and what I really want in life? Because that's what we see from our super survivors, people looking inward and saying, gosh, if life is so fragile that it can potentially heap trauma on me at any moment, or even I could die at any moment, I better start living it. And what is really, really important to me?
Oh, that's profound. Now, I wonder, by your research, do you find, like, especially with that Navy person in
Alan,
the world?
Yeah.
Yes, Alan. Is this something, I guess, how do I put this? Is it something that we all possess?
Yeah.
Or is it something that, okay, so it's not always necessarily the trauma brings us out in us, or is it a combination of that? Is, because you call them these, you know, like survival, you know, mindset, super survival mindset, or the skills, that these, there's like this convergence of the skills and abilities that people bring together. And I'm just wondering, is that possible for everyone, or did these people already display this?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So, you know, the research shows that there are some kind of, I don't want to say inborn, but some long-standing personality characteristics that do help people to grow when trauma strikes. It turns out, for some reason, that extroverted people, I'm an introvert personally, but extroverted people have a bit of an easier time growing through trauma. It turns out that people who naturally have higher self-esteem tend to grow more through trauma. But there are very few kind of innate personality characteristics that influence growth in trauma. Mostly it's a mindset. And there are things that we all possess. The ability to reach out and count on other people for social support. The ability to set goals and reflect on our values and what's truly important to us. The ability to think about our spirituality and to consider what we really believe. The ability to allow ourselves the freedom to think about our own mortality and to admit to ourselves that, in fact, life is kind of short. These are all things that we can nurture in ourselves, which have powerful effects on our ability to grow through trauma and our ability to grow in general. Let me give you one example. There was a research study done a few years ago, and research isn't the most exciting thing to talk about, but I think you'll like this one. There was a psychologist who got together a bunch of subjects for an experiment. These were undergraduates in college, 18, 19-year-olds, not the most introspective spiritual bunch, but got them together and had half of them sit in a room and just think about their day, you know, just introspect and think about how their day went for 15 or 20 minutes. The other half was given different instructions. They were asked to sit in a room and think about their own, and to journal about their own death, to think forward in their life and think, well, when do I think I might die? And how do I think I might die? And what's going to happen to my body when I die? But then not to stop there, to actually think about, what do I want people to say about me once I'm gone? What's the legacy I want to leave? and to really think about the meaning that I leave behind in the world, sort of like what people say they go through when they're confronted with trauma and their life flashes before them. And what they found, the results were profound. What they found is the people who thought about their own mortality for 15 or 20 minutes and journaled about it were more spiritual at the end of this experiment. They were more altruistic. They were more connected with their values and what was important to them. And this is something we all can do, trauma or no trauma, in 15 or 20 minutes. I tried it. It works.
Wow, I love it. It's interesting. There's always a synchronistic thread. We talked at the top of the program about, you know, values, beliefs, what gives you meaning, what do you value. And I'm hearing you say this, to reflect on this, that it's so important for, you know, not just growing, you know, through or from trauma, but just in general, that it's important to take time to reflect on this.
Absolutely it is. And that's what we see that trauma pushes people to do. You know, it sort of forces people to look inward and say, if life is really so fragile, what's really important to me? I'll give you one example of that. We interviewed a guy named Paul Watkins, and he was a guy who was a multimillionaire. He lived in New Orleans. He had a business, a major food business, making like packaged jambalaya and things like that, and also diet products. Made millions and millions of dollars, lived in a fancy high-rise apartment. And then on September the 11th, 2001, like all of us in the United States, he saw big airplanes crashing into big buildings and the Pentagon, and we were all kind of collectively traumatized. But for him, it was much more specific, because he realized that his best friend, with whom he had walked through life, was the co-pilot of the airplane that hit the Pentagon.
Oh, my gosh.
And this, of course, threw him for a loop. He was incredibly aggrieved. He was actually the person who delivered his friend's ashes to his friend's parents. He had lost a great life companion. But it also did something else. It forced him to think about his own life. And he realized for the first time on a gut level how fragile life is. And he asked himself the question, is this who I really want to be? This millionaire, making lots of money, living in a high-rise apartment, owner of a company, is this really what's important to me? And the answer in his case was no. And he subsequently took an amazing risk, but I think a really important one for him. He sold his company for a song. He basically gave it to his investors. He gave away all of his possessions, his high-rise apartment, all of his fancy clothes and his money, and he decided to become a Catholic priest. And he is, and
wow,
he then became one of the first people to return to New Orleans, to his parish, and help to rebuild the city in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, and is much more satisfied in his life. And he attributes that to trauma forcing him to look inward and realize life's short. What's really important to me? But we don't need trauma to do that. We all can do that now. And that's one of the lessons I hope that people can get from our book.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have a question in the chat from Crystal. Would drama be the same as trauma to get you to move? If you have an overabundance of drama in your life,
it's
going to be emotionally impactful.
Yeah, I think there are many kinds of trauma. You know, if you ask the American Psychiatric Association, who have an official definition of trauma, trauma means a life-threatening kind of condition or something that threatens injury. So it's very specific, you know, losing a limb, being shot at, being in a natural disaster. But personally, I think that the definition of trauma is kind of in the eye of the beholder. We all know that we suffer real pain in our lives. And that pain, while being horribly painful, also presents us with an opportunity, a kind of perverse opportunity, but an opportunity to really connect with what's important to us, whether that's the pain of losing a job, the pain of relationships and the drama and the pain and the problems that can occur in relationships, whether that's a financial setback. Again, the American Psychiatric Association, in their great wisdom, wouldn't consider those traumas, but I think they are. And they present the same sorts of pain and opportunities as many other kinds of trauma.
Mm-hmm. Then we have another question coming in. I've suffered from long-standing emotional abuse, was molested as a child. I consider myself living with post-traumatic stress disorder. Would you consider this a trauma from your book?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, child abuse, being abused physically or sexually over a long period of time is absolutely considered a trauma. Emotional abuse, but not physical abuse. Again, I think trauma can be that the definition of trauma is shifty. I think that what you need to do is check in with yourself. And if it's something that has really dramatically changed your life, you're having depression, you're having anxiety, you're having symptoms, nightmares, flashbacks, it's trauma. I mean, in some sense, it's trauma. And it can be treated. And what I mean by treated is there are good therapies. We know people don't have to live with the horrible pain of trauma. But therapy only goes so far. It really only gets you to bounce back. What we're hoping people get out of reading Super Survivors is also simultaneously the power to bounce forward.
I love that, bouncing forward. Now, in your book, you also, Super Survivors, you also address the time frame, and that's, we've got a couple of questions about that as well. How long, and I hear that a lot with the listeners, how long do I have to go on with this? How long before I see the light of day? Is there a specific time, or is it time frame for people to bounce forward, as you say, not just bounce back, but bounce forward, or is it individual?
I think it's individual. I wish I could give you an answer, and I mean, I really would love to tell people who are going through painful times that, you know, that you only have one more month to endure or six more months to endure. It's not that easy. I think that everyone is on their own clock. So we met people in researching for this book who it took 20 years to begin the process of growth. We met one woman who actually didn't make it into the book. Well, we didn't meet her. We read her biography and we met some people that she knew, because she had passed away a number of years ago at a ripe old age. But her name was Helga Newmark, and she actually was a little girl who was in a Nazi concentration camp, a little Jewish girl. And she was then, of course, released from the concentration camp, narrowly escaping death. But that trauma really threw her entire life for a loop. She doubted God. She doubted her spirituality. She doubted herself. She doubted other people. She had, terrible emotional distress for a very long time. And I believe it was sometime in her 50s, so many, many decades later, that she began to grow. Her process of grieving what happened, making sense of it, she experimented with a number of different religions and ways of believing, actually eventually brought her back to her childhood Judaism. And she became the first, I believe it was the first woman rabbi who was a survivor of the Holocaust. She was the first woman to be ordained who was a survivor of the Holocaust, and wrote a beautiful book called Letters to the Wise One about her tumultuous and difficult journey from being traumatized to healing and then to moving towards a future that ultimately was a future of spiritual growth.
Wow. Now, it seems in most of these situations that there is some form of not just mental, emotional, but spiritual growth, but also there seems to be a wanting to and a follow through on giving back somehow, to making others' lives better. Does that seem to be a component that you see a lot?
Yeah, absolutely. Not always. We interviewed a woman named Asha Mevlana, who at 25 years old, a businesswoman living in New York, living a pretty successful life, got breast cancer and really thought she was going to die. And after her cancer ordeal, when she was pronounced cancer-free, she actually went on to become a rock violinist, playing with Jay-Z and on the Tonight Show Band and on American Idol. I mean, that's not exactly giving back, though I think in many ways she makes people, she moves people with her music. But I think overall, yes, we do see people starting NGOs, helping other people, like Paul Watkins that I talked about earlier, becoming a priest and helping to rebuild New Orleans. I think as human beings, we want to help. We want to reach out. Supporting others and getting the love and support of people in return is, I think, one of the things that makes life worth living. And we see that as a major dimension of growth in super survival.
You also mentioned something about, and I want to tie back in because we touched on it just briefly, but hope and this kind of, to use your term, grounded hope, that's an important part of surviving trauma is to have this grounded hope.
Yes, and that's really our antidote in the book. We actually talk about seven different principles that the research supports and our interviews and our own personal experience supports in helping people to bounce forward after trauma. But the central one, the most important one, which has lots of ideas around it that it's hard to go into in a quick answer, is grounded hope. And this is our antidote to this kind of naive power of positive thinking. Grounded hope is at once realistic and forward-looking and hopeful. And it has two parts. The first part is the grounded part. When you encounter trauma, it's okay to admit to yourself what's happened. Don't try to paint a smiley face over it. Don't try to act like nothing's wrong. I had someone once tell me that she felt like people were telling her to clutch a teddy bear and smile when she was going through the worst thing she'd ever been through. And she said, I can't do that. I'm in pain. It's okay to fully admit what's happening to yourself, feel your feelings, be where you are. That's all right. It really is setting the foundation for growth. Because until you can sort of understand fully where you are in life, it's really hard to build on that. It's really hard to grow. And so the second part then, once you've grounded yourself realistically in where you are and you're grieving that, once you're in that grief process, the second step is to ask yourself this, I think, somewhat magical, though simple question, and that is, given where I am in life, given what I cannot change about my situation, given the limitations introduced to my life from my trauma and from my pain, how can I take steps to build on top of it? What now? And begin to think about some goals, some things that you want to do. Maybe those are small things, like just to get out today and smell a flower, watch the hummingbirds in the garden. Or maybe it's a big thing, like some of the super survivors that we talked about, to found an NGO or to row a rowboat across the Atlantic Ocean or to change your career or to change your life in some way. But ask yourself that second question, given where I am, what now? And begin to take steps to move towards that. We talk about in the book some steps people can take, but that combination of groundedness and hope shows up everywhere among super survivors.
It sounds like there's a kind of bridging from, especially with your phrase here, given where I am, what now? Seems that there's some kind of bridging. You know, maybe there are some things you can bring from the past forward. By the way, I love your not just bouncing back, but bouncing forward. I put it in the chat. I love that. That alone gives hope because we always have, oh, you're bouncing back, but this gives the idea that things
can
they're different, but they can even be better, you know.
Yeah.
there's the potential for that.
You know, it reminds me that this whole notion, we noticed a lot of sort of ancient philosophy and wisdom. This we didn't necessarily comment on it in the book, but my co-author Lee and I noticed that our themes really touched on some ancient philosophy and wisdom. And this idea of, you know, realistically grounding yourself in where you are and then asking yourself, what now? How can I build on this? Reminds me of, I think it's a Buddhist or a Zen saying, which is, you know, if you're on your path and you knock on the door opens. If you're not on your path and you knock on the door will not open. And I feel like when your path is trauma, it's no good trying to pretend that that's not your path. You really have to walk down that path and know that there are still doors that will open to you. The trauma doesn't have to be the end of the journey. It really can be a beginning, a painful beginning, but a beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That really is hopeful. I mean, but it's also practical, because the truth is, if you're still here, you're meant to be here, and there's on earth, there's things, you know, there's more to do. I think, you know, getting over people's thing, I really like that, the bouncing back. That's getting a lot of kudos in the chat, David. Are there any, when we talked about kind of there are some predispositions to this, which I think, you know, makes sense. Is there any way, whether within ourselves or maybe even, you know, those of us that are parents with children, that we can help to instill or develop or reinforce characteristics that will help them, you know, down the road, you know, with growth and change, and if there happens to be trauma?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll give you two. And we talk about more in the book, but I'll give you two, I think, good ones. The first one is, start teaching your kids about grounded hope from the very beginning. You know, our culture, I think, erroneously gives kids the message that anything and everything is possible. Life will just be smooth and beautiful. This kind of fairy tale idea. I mean, it's even in our fairy tales, you know, you know, happily ever after. And I'm not saying that life is terrible. Life can be wonderful. But I think we need, when our kids stub their toe or when our kids suffer a rejection or a setback, I think we need to greet that and with grounded hope. We need to model that. Mm-hmm. The message is not that life is always beautiful. It's not that you'll live happily ever after, no matter what. The message is, life has beauty in it, and it has pain in it. But the good news is that you can get through the pain, and the pain can help to move you forward in your life. My grandfather had a wonderful saying, which is, life is like licking honey from a thorn. And I just think that's beautiful, and it expresses realistically that life has pain in it, but there are ways of still maintaining your hope. And so I think modeling that in your own action, teaching that to your kids, is really important. And the second thing is helping your kids to understand the value of social support and love and trust and friendship. We haven't talked about this a lot on this show yet, but one of the major things that psychologists know helps people to not only bounce back but bounce forward after trauma is having social support in your life, and specifically having one person or more than one person. All it takes is one that you really believe is there for you, and opening yourself up to what that person has to offer. One of the things that people sometimes do in the aftermath of trauma, and I can tell you, having worked with lots of trauma survivors, is people sometimes shut down. You know, they believe no one could ever understand what they've gone through, and they kind of hold themselves up, draw the curtains, and are alone. And I think one of the most important lessons we can teach to our kids is, when you're going through pain, that's actually exactly the time to open the curtains, to open yourself up to the love and support of other people, because we know that is a factor that helps people to bounce forward.
Oh, David, this is, we are out of time. And boy, you are definitely, with this book, Super Survivors, really helping people not just bounce back, but bounce forward. I really commend you for what you're doing. And it holds an important piece, I think, in our culture and where we're going, you know, as a people and a society, to have this information. So thank you so much for all you do and also being on the program.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been fun.
Thank you. All right, and our guest was Dr. David B. Feldman. You can find out more information about his work, as well as his book, Super Survivors, and other books at supersurvivors.com. And we have been discussing his latest book, Super Survivors. I love the concept. Not only can you bounce back, but you can bounce forward. Some great insights from him. As always, everyone, it's great to connect with all of you. You really make the program what it is. We're here every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. And you can call in for questions at that time. All Things Awakenings, you can email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com. Until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.